And good morning. Welcome into Morning Invest. This is the final episode of our live show from our old studio. So you can see the empty bookshelves behind me. We are moving our studio today. So this is the last official show from here. But coming up on the show, we've got a couple of pieces of breaking news that happened overnight. So if you're just waking up, we're going to get to what's going on the impeachment trial. We've got a framework from the Senate. We'll tell you about the compromise that's been reached between Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell on the impeachment trial of President Donald J. Trump. That is going to happen today. We have also got some important breaking news on the stimulus front, which we will bring to you very, very shortly. This is good news. So good breaking news on those stimulus checks. That just happening just a short time ago. We'll bring that news to you. So a lot happening overnight while you were sleeping. And then we're also going to get to some interesting news on the minimum wage. And I think that Democrats have kneecapped themselves. I think Democrats are looking completely weak in this situation, and I don't understand why. We'll go into the reasons in a few moments here on the minimum wage front and something President Biden seems to be walking back on. That and more on the show today. Grover is in the house. He's here. We're going to put him in a little pet sitter here as we do the move, but this is his last day to kind of hang out in this empty studio. So he's here keeping me company this morning. And we've got a busy, busy show. So thank you for everyone for joining us and subscribing to the channel. If you are new here, we are the only progressive morning show with a live audience where we get to cover the issues that I think are important for the American people. That is the minimum wage. That is Medicare for all. That is making sure we have workers' protections in this country and universal health care. All of those issues we focus here on this show. So please smash that like button and subscribe to the channel. All right, let's get to the news. We'll get there in a second, but I want to tell you about today's show sponsor, our friends over at Grammarly. So this is a product that I use every day at Grammarly.com. Right on my computer, I have it built into my, I have it built right into my email. I have it built in when I'm writing the morning newsletter every day. Grammarly is fantastic. Even if you just want to, you know, up your writing just a little bit, you want to make sure that you're not making mistakes before you're sending an email. You want to make sure that you're maybe choosing some different words that wouldn't normally be there. So every day when we write our newsletter, we're checking to make sure we have clear, effective communication or just catching spelling mistakes. Grammarly Premium gives you real-time feedback and insights to help you elevate your writing through tone, word choice, and clarity. Now, because we get so many messages and documents and because we are writing our daily newsletter that's going out to tens of thousands of people, we of course want to make sure that everything sounds great and we didn't make some stupid mistake. Now, we still make mistakes, of course, but we want to have clarity and we want to make sure that our sentences are clear, concise, and crisp. I know that David, our producer, uses it all the time as well. We use it for, you know, how often do you find yourself relying on Grammarly? Every day. My wife uses it, Natalie uses it, David uses it, I use it every single day. So you can level up your writing for work, your school, your personal projects, it doesn't matter. And like I said, it's built right in with Gmail and other tools like Outlook and things like that. So make sure that you can use it as you're typing right there inside of your email client. And you're gonna get 20% off right now at Grammarly Premium. You've gotta try this. Go to grammarly.com/invest. That's grammarly.com/invest. Invest to try Grammarly Premium and get 20% off. Elevate your writing with 20% off Grammarly Premium. We thank them for the support of Morning Invest. All right, let's get to the news this morning. And the first big story we've got to start with, it's going to be a historic day in Washington, and historic because of a new impeachment trial about to unfold. So just a short time ago, we got word from the Senate that, in fact, yes, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, the minority leader and majority leader, have announced from the Senate floor that all parties have agreed on a, quote, bipartisan resolution to govern the structure and the timing of the impending trial. This is important because now we can actually start to see a framework about when these individuals will be able to come to Washington, make their case. So it's going to be a historic day on the trial, what it's going to be like at the White House, what it's going to be like over in the Senate side. All of these things are going to be coming together this afternoon. So we'll see more on that as this unfolds throughout the day. But now at least we have a framework to move forward on the impending trial for Donald Trump. It's going to rock Washington. You're going to start to hear their defense. Their defense will be that Donald Trump's words, in fact, they even quoted the lawyers in the preliminaries saying his words, fight like hell, was not an incitement of violence. So then what was it? Was it just political theater? This will be discussed. Will he be impeached? Hard to say. Doesn't look like it's going to be moving in that direction. Could be facing acquittal. But is there another option for Republicans? Is there another option to keep him from ever running for office? And that is the game plan right now. It looks like plan B, in lieu of an impeachment, is that Democrats have this backup plan. And it's the 14th Amendment, if the Senate doesn't convict Trump on impeachment. So they may push ahead with this with a censure resolution to bar President Trump from holding future office. And that would happen in the 14th Amendment. A lot of people have been talking about that. Even Senator Tim Kaine and Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine. They're going to start to gauge that, whether or not this is going to happen, whether or not they want to actually float this. They started to quietly reaching out to Republicans over the past few days to see if they'd be in favor of censuring rather than impeaching the president, keeping him from ever running for public office again. Now, that would be exciting for a lot of Republicans who think that he has torn the Republican Party apart. I don't know. The reception, though, has been sort of lukewarm on this whole thing. So far, Democrats, they want to see him impeached. They want to see him convicted in an impeachment trial. They don't want this slap on the wrist censure. Republicans, though, they don't really want him to be, they don't want him convicted. They don't want him to run for office again. So it's kind of a weird, motion right now. Democrats, on the one hand, really want him to suffer. Republicans don't want him to suffer. They just don't want him to ever run again to screw them up. What do you think? Let me know in the chat below and drop me a comment. Do you think President Trump will be impeached or will he be acquitted once again? Second acquittal for President Trump. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting trial, though. A lot of new evidence is going to be presented about what statements were made behind the scenes, what emails, what communications were happening at the White House while these riots were unfolding. Was there actually incitement of insurrection by the White House? So we will get to hear that evidence in the next few days as this impeachment trial unfolds. Meanwhile, we've got some breaking news on the stimulus front. And I want to get right to that breaking news, which is the $1,400 check. So we just learned a short time ago, while you were sleeping, there had been a lot of concern over Joe Manchin. Now, I'm half happy today. I'm half happy because at least Joe Manchin gets at least half of what he wants, it seems. And I'll get to the bad stuff in a second. But at least on the stimulus checks, it looks like Joe Manchin is not going to get his wish of means testing these stimulus checks. What does that mean? That means simply that the threshold will not be lowered to get these stimulus checks. So we just learned just a short time ago in breaking news that the House Democrats are dismissing efforts to scale back the eligibility for these $1,400 checks. So we got a chance to look at some of this draft resolutions for this. Right now it's being marked up. This is not final legislation. But House Democrats released a stimulus plan, and it did not include Manchin's reduction of eligibility. So that means that the stimulus checks at $75,000 for individuals will remain and $150,000 for couples. It would dismiss an attempt from some Senate Democrats to sharply limit who can receive that direct payment, particularly Joe Manchin. Representative Richard Neal of the House Ways and Means Committee said this. He said, quote, "Our nation is struggling. The virus is still not contained. And the American people are counting on Congress to meet this moment with bold and immediate action," Neal said in a statement. The proposal would distribute payments to individual taxpayers making $75,000, along with couples earning $150,000 or less. And the same parameters, these are the parameters that President Biden put out. So President Biden is getting what he wants. Now, this to me was going to be the hardest challenge. This to me, this $1,500, $1,400 means testing, I would agree to go down and on a lower threshold as Joe Manchin. This needs to be targeted. Let's make it lower. Let's make it lower. I thought that was going to be the hardest fight. No, it's not. He backed off of it. Joe Manchin realized, I guess this is a losing battle. And we also know from reporting in West Virginia that Joe Manchin's office has been flooded with phone calls. Thank you, everyone. All of you who watch our show, I know many thousands of you called his office demanding to not means test checks and to get immediate fiscal aid out to the American people. So congratulations, good on you for getting those phone calls done and sending those emails to Joe Manchin's office. Many of you have written to me and told me that you did it. So hallelujah, you should thank yourself. So that is how he backed off. Joe Manchin is backing off. The legislation, the rate at which payments diminish, those single filers earning $100,000 and joint filers making $200,000 would no longer be eligible to receive the federal cash. So if you're single and you're filing and you're making $100,000 annually, you're not going to get money. Like, it peters out after $99,000, basically. Early momentum is gathering now behind Democrats. Again, Joe Manchin backed off of this eligibility. I think that, people, even Raphael Warnock down in Georgia, who won on this $2,000 stimulus check plan, said, I think people making $75,000 in Georgia are struggling in many instances. Yes. That was my point all along. $75,000. And how many times, have you had hours cut? Have you had health care increases? Are you now having to take on full responsibility as head of household because a family member lost their job? Are you having a child that's now living at home with you, a university child that's now living at home with you, or someone because they lost their job and you're having to support them? So just because you're making $75,000 an hour doesn't mean you're not struggling. And in many towns and in many cities across the United States, with the rising cost of rent, with the rising cost of goods, paying more for milk, paying more for eggs, all of those things, that $75,000 doesn't go very far, or as far as it used to, does it? Many people are living paycheck to paycheck. So the fact that Joe Manchin took time out over the past few weeks to say, we're going to means test this, let's make this more targeted, just goes to show you how out of touch these people are. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Got my moving clothes on. I just realized one of my collars are sticking up. Hey, we keep it real on this show. So that is some good news. Jen Psaki giving a White House press briefing last night, talking about the next steps on COVID relief. She says it's moving along, but I want you to pay attention closely to what she says here about the process. Take a listen to Jen Psaki in the White House press briefing room.
The president and his entire administration are continuing to engage closely with leaders on Capitol Hill about the need to act quickly on the American Rescue Plan so we can finish the job of getting $2,000 checks out to Americans, so we can get more vaccines in the arms of Americans, so we can get economic relief to families facing eviction or food insecurity, and so we can help reopen schools safely. We're encouraged that both Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Schumer are in full agreement about the need to move swiftly on the president's proposal, and the committee markups we'll see throughout the week are evidence of Congress acting on that expeditiously. Our expectation is that this week's House markups will track closely with what the president has proposed, but there will, of course, be adjustments to strengthen the bill and tweaks as a result of the legislative process, which he's quite familiar with, having served there for 36 years.
Okay, so the legislative markup process is happening now. What is that? Well, as you know, they're not finalized on the bill. There's just a draft floating around. That's what we got to see last night, this draft legislation that includes $1,400 checks for $75,000 earners. No threshold being lowered on that. Now, Joe Manchin could stick his neck in there, and he could wiggle on this, and he could try to see if they lower this. He could, to his detriment. I hope he doesn't, but it seems like Democrats, the reason they put that in there is because they have his blessing now on that. Okay, we'll see. But this markup process is going to happen now. So they are all getting their Sharpies out and they're all going through it right now. And they're making a decision as to what they want in this thing, what they don't want in it, and they're going to increase it. So she says it's going to be strengthened. Okay. I hope so. I hope that that's the case. Because if Joe Manchin tries to weaken it once again, you're going to have major pushback. And I think Bernie Sanders is the one that's winning this argument right now. So Bernie came out and spoke about this absurdity of lowering this threshold. And I think many of his Democratic colleagues were paying attention. I hope that Joe Manchin was paying attention, and that's why he backed off of this. And that's why the House leadership went forward with this threshold. Listen to Bernie this weekend take basically Joe Manchin to task on this question.
Then when it comes to the COVID relief checks, President Biden said Friday he's open to lowering the threshold of who qualifies for the checks. One idea.
Actually, let me do that.
Raising the minimum wage will have significant budget implications and, in fact, should be
being floated in the Senate, included by some Democrats, is to phase out checks for individuals making more than $50,000 a year. You called that proposal unbelievable and said, quote, in other words, working class people who got checks from Trump would not get them from Biden. Brilliant. Obviously, you're being sarcastic there. It's clear you don't support it. You heard Janet Yellen earlier in the show. She said, obviously, she thinks that somebody who makes $60,000 a year should be getting these relief checks, but she wasn't willing to commit to $75,000. Where do you think the cutoff should be?
Well, I think what we have done in the past and what we have promised the American people, we've said two things in the last month. We said we're going to get you $2,000, and that's $600 plus $1,400. And what we're going to do is say that everybody, a single person, individual, $75,000 or lower, and a couple of $150,000 or lower will be eligible for that full $2,000, $600 plus $1,400. Now, when people said, we don't want rich people to get that benefit, I understand that. I agree. And what we need to do is have a strong cliff so it doesn't kind of spill over to people making $300,000. And that's what I support, and that's what I think most people understand. But to say to a worker in Vermont or California or any place else that if you're making, you know, $52,000 a year, you are too rich to get this help, the full benefit, I think that that's absurd. And it's also, from a political point of view, a little bit absurd that you would have under Trump these folks getting the benefit, but under Biden, who is fighting hard for the working class of this country, they would not get that full benefit. So I think from a policy point of view, we've got to do the right thing, and that's $75,000 and $150,000 for a couple. From a political point of view, it is absurd to be telling working class people, somebody has a decent union job, they're making $55,000, $60,000, sorry, you're not eligible for the program. Makes no sense to me at all, nor do I think it makes sense to the American people.
You're right. Yeah, how many of you think that that makes sense? Oh, you're making $55,000, so that means that you're wealthy. That's ridiculous. And Joe Manchin is completely out of touch in his state of West Virginia, by the way. Ridiculous. Someone sent me a documentary the other day about the state of West Virginia, and I live there. I spent a lot of years in West Virginia. As a reporter, I covered the drug problems in that state. I covered the poverty problems in that state. You know, as a news anchor and a reporter for NBC when I lived in Bluefield, West Virginia, state is crushed. So how many people would think that the people of West Virginia would want to lower the threshold for receiving stimulus checks? But Joe Manchin, of course, is paid by big coal and big gas and energy companies. So that's why. He wants to reduce the amount of money that people get. And that's why he needs to be thrown out. That's why we need to primary him and run a progressive candidate in West Virginia. And the movement is growing to do so. So we're going to keep our eye on West Virginia and Joe Manchin, and whether or not he sticks his neck into this stimulus discussion further and tries to continue to means test and lower these threshold on these checks. But also Bernie brings up a great point about politically. Right now, Republicans are looking, at least like Mitt Romney, and there's a wing of the Republican Party right now that's looking more progressive than even Democrats. Democrats run the show. They have an opportunity now to do all of these big policy choices in a way that you almost never have a chance. As Rahm Emanuel famously talked about back in the day in 2008, you know, never let a good, a catastrophe go to waste, basically. This is the only time big legislation happens in the United States is when we are faced with a major economic crisis. Now we've got a pandemic and an economic crisis, a major war, a world war. That's when big things happen, because Congress wakes up and is galvanized to get things across. Most of the time, Congress doesn't do crap. They don't pass anything that's meaningful until we have some big crisis. And now we're faced with that. So if Biden doesn't get in these pieces of things that he has been calling for or pushing for, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If we get past the 100 days and he still hasn't put forth an infrastructure plan that's going to get, it's not going to happen. You want to talk about revitalizing healthcare? Hell, President Trump talked about revitalizing infrastructure for 4 years and it never happened. He had Republican control of the House, Senate, and he had full Republican control. The House, the Senate, and the White House. It still couldn't get a wall built fully. The time is now to get big, meaningful, bold legislation pushed through. And Democrats are starting to kneecap themselves. It's starting to be embarrassing, quite honestly. Like, what is the reason you are going soft on these programs? Is it because, Joe Biden, you said, hey, when you vote for me, nothing will fundamentally change when you talk to Wall Street executives? Are you living up to that promise that nothing will fundamentally change? What I'm specifically talking about is minimum wage. $15 an hour minimum wage is a must right now. You know, a new report this weekend came out from the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, that talked about the minimum wage numbers and said that, yes, some jobs would be lost, but it would reduce poverty across the United States. By the way, I also think that that loss of jobs thing is dubious. There has been fleeting evidence, or virtually none at all, that raising the minimum wage leads to job loss. And we are at $7.25 an hour, a poverty wage. Bernie Sanders has been pushing and pushing and pushing to get it raised to $15 an hour. Florida raised their minimum wage to $15 an hour. Multiple states have already taken that and done it themselves. This would be a federal standard of $15. So many conservative states, red states, have already done it. Do you think Ron DeSantis and the Republican legislature in Florida would have pushed for $15 minimum wage if it wasn't popular and it wouldn't help? Over 67% of Floridians supported a $15 an hour minimum wage increase. It's popular. Most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. $15 an hour minimum wage is barely exceeding the poverty level in the United States. So President Biden did this big interview with Nora O'Donnell during the Super Bowl thing, CBS Sunday Morning, and he talked about the $15 an hour minimum wage. And this is causing quite a stir in Washington this morning. The president basically saying he doesn't think that this is going to happen. The president of the United States, who has the political capital right now and arguably has the political will to get big things done, is showing that he's dropping the ball. He's lowering his political will right now. For what reason, I can't figure out. Here's President Biden talking with Nora O'Donnell, saying that he doesn't think that a $15 an hour minimum wage is going to fly.
So you're saying the minimum wage won't be in this?
My guess is it will not be in it, but I do think that we should have a minimum wage stand by itself, $15 an hour, and work your way up to the 15. It doesn't have to be boom. And all the economics show, if you do that, the whole economy rises. I'm prepared, as President of the United States, on a separate negotiation on minimum wage, to work my way up from what it is now, which is pain. Look, no one should work 40 hours a week and live below the poverty wage. And if you're making less than $15 an hour, you're living below the poverty wage.
But that may not be in your American Rescue Plan.
No, I put it in, but I don't think it's going to survive.
I put it in there. I made sure I put it in there. I don't think it's going to survive, though. So he's telling Nora O'Donnell, basically, I would support going up to, you know, like $10 or $11 an hour. Well, like, we could just slowly get there. What's holding you back? What? Nothing is holding you back. You know, I just lost my father, of course, a week and a half ago now. And my father was one of those guys that just, he would, where there was a will, there was a way. And that's how I've always lived my life. I don't take no for an answer. Like, I will figure it out. I will find a way to get it done. And if you are the president of the United States, you've just won an election. You've just won the Senate in a runoff election, which is unheard of, flipping two Senate seats in a state, in a, you know, arguably red state. And you run the House of Representatives. You have the political capital right now to push a $15 an hour minimum wage through. He doesn't want to. He can sit there and say that he does, but if he really wanted to, $15 an hour minimum wage should be a cakewalk. So what is the argument here? The argument is, oh, that the Senate parliamentarian is not going to let it be added into the reconciliation process, that it could only be budget items. Well, an argument could be made. Look, Republicans back in 2008, 2009, went ahead with reconciliation and didn't give a rat's behind what Democrats were doing. They pushed through a massive tax cut for the wealthy. They pushed through all of their budget. They didn't give a rat's behind what Democrats were doing. They didn't. So now Democrats have the opportunity to do the same thing. And they're balking? And why are you balking? Are you balking because Joe Manchin has threatened to not vote for the overall budget because, or the overall reconciliation package and COVID relief, because he might want to go to $12 an hour instead of $15 an hour? And you're literally going to cave to one guy? Where's your backbone, Joe? Where's your backbone? Stand up to Joe Manchin. You already sent Kamala Harris, which I thought was great politics. You sent the vice president to West Virginia to argue for not only a minimum wage, but also stimulus checks and a broader COVID relief package. Joe Manchin wasn't happy about it. Good. Send her back again. Why don't you fly to West Virginia? Because if you really support $15 an hour minimum wage, if you really support it, you would push Joe Manchin out of the way. You would.
Aw, man.
I'm serious. Joe, we got to keep it real, man. Where's your political backbone? So you're willing. He just makes the point in that speech. He just said to Nora O'Donnell, $15 is barely cutting the mustard. All right, if that's barely cutting it, then why would you agree to Joe Manchin's $12 an hour minimum wage? If you just said it right there, you understand that it's a poverty wage where we are right now, and just getting to 15 is still not even, we really need to be at 23, according to most economists. We need to be at $23 an hour. You just want to be at $15 an hour, and now you're willing to go down to Joe Manchin's $12 an hour? Give me a break. Get some political balls out here, man. Look, I know you're trying to be Joe Nice Guy. That's great. Be a Joe Nice Guy. Do it on your own time. Do it with the White House staff. Be nice to those people. When you go to Camp David, be nice to those people that take care of you. You don't need to be nice to Joe Manchin. The American people are counting on you. And this is total garbage. So Bernie Sanders was asked about this when Joe Biden... I played this for you a couple weeks ago, but... Joe Biden was, Bernie Sanders was conceding to Biden. And in order for him to concede, he basically got on a Zoom call with candidate Biden at the time. And he was conceding. He was basically kind of endorsing President Biden or President-elect Biden, candidate Biden. And he said, you know, is there anything that I can do for you? Like, what do you need from me now that I'm going to give you my endorsement? You know, Bernie, what do you need from me? Here's what he said.
Did you have any questions for me, Bernie, at all?
I did, Joe. Let's talk about some of the areas that I think we are actually fairly close. There are some areas where we disagree, but somewhere we are fairly close. Let's talk about the economy. And above and beyond the crisis that we're in right now, very well that millions of our people are working for starvation wages. And one of the fights that I've been waging for a number of years now is to raise that minimum wage to at least $15 an hour. Is that something, Joe, that you are supportive of?
Bernie, I am extremely supportive of that. And I thank you for leading on it. I thank you for your endorsement, your support. But it means a great deal to me personally.
It means a great deal to me personally. And yes, I support it 100%. $15 an hour minimum wage. So what happened, Joe? I don't think it's going to survive. I don't think it's going to be a part of the COVID package. No, you know, look, we just got to go small at this point. How many people of you watching right now would be affected by a $15 an hour minimum wage increase? Let me know in the comments below. Would this help you and your family to maybe eliminate one of the jobs of two that you're working right now? Extra hours just to make ends meet? I believe it would. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Drop me a comment on this. So Bernie Sanders was asked about that this weekend, and he thinks that he hopes Joe Biden is wrong on this. Take a listen.
He supports raising the federal minimum wage. He just thinks it's not going to make it into the final bill. You're the Senate Budget Committee Chairman. Is President Biden wrong?
Well, I hope he is, Jake. As you indicated, the president supports the $15 an hour minimum wage. I do. A last poll I saw has 62% of the American people supporting it. Because at the end of the day, we are in the midst of massive income and wealth inequality. People on top are doing phenomenally well. And yet we have literally tens of millions of Americans working for starvation wages. You cannot make it in any state in this country on $9 or $10 an hour. We've got to raise that minimum wage to $15 an hour. And I can tell you, as chairman of the Budget Committee, we have a room full of lawyers working as hard as we can to make the case to the parliamentarian that, in fact, raising the minimum wage will have significant budget implications and, in fact, should be consistent with reconciliation rules.
So basically, there's no excuse. That's what Bernie's saying. There's no excuse that the budget process, we can push this through. It's consistent with the rules, and we've got to keep it at $15 an hour. Let's see if President Biden gets his balls back. Let me know in the chat what you think. We've got some breaking news, though, on the overall stimulus package that we're just getting in. We're getting a framework of this package, the draft legislation. Now, remember, they're going to take their little Sharpie. They're going to go through and scratch out things they don't like. But more pieces of this stimulus we're getting in this morning. Ron Wyden, the senator from Oregon, saying that he will push back against cutting unemployment benefits by 1 month. He said, quote, I'm pleased to see the income thresholds for relief payments are preserved up to the $75,000 that we talked about. But he tweeted a short time ago saying working families who have received the first two payments are counting on a third check. However, I also want to preserve the 6 months of jobless benefits. And I'm going to work to find a resolution that preserves both relief payments and jobless benefits. Relief checks and jobless benefits are the most tangible parts of the economic relief package for those struggling to make ends meet. They played a critical role in ensuring families could pay rent, buy groceries, and are strongly supported by the American people. We can do both, he says. Why is he saying that? Well, because part of this draft legislation, Biden's initial plan had it extended through the end of September. Well, now Richard Neal's plan, who's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, came out with his proposed which had unemployment benefits drying up the end of August. Why are you guys kneecapping yourselves? Democrats, what the hell is wrong with you? What is it, man? Come on. You just to shave a month off of it? For what purpose? You guys are in control. Like, is it Joe Manchin that's getting to you? So it was going to be, Biden had it extended through September, this unemployment benefits. Why in the world, Richard Neal, in this draft legislation, did you just pull it back to August? Why? What is the point? That's like being a D. That's being a dick. Don't be a D. That's exactly what I talk about. That's the only rule in my family. Don't be a D. Why would you do that? There's an important also provision in this that I missed. Let's say at first you get a partial payment based on your 2019 tax returns, but then you qualify for a full benefit based on your 2020 tax returns. In that case, the IRS would send the remainder of what you are owed based on your 2020 info when it's processed. So let me repeat that. Let's say you at first get a partial payment, okay, based on your 2019 tax returns, but then you qualify for a full benefit on your 2020 returns. In that case, the IRS would send the remainder of what you are owed based on your now 2020 info when it's processed. So you'll basically get more as a result. That's good news. Okay, that's good news. So a lot of you were asking me that question on the 2019 versus 2020 tax returns. So that is an important provision that I missed in the first round. You know, it has a substantial increase in ACA premium subsidies, which is also great. Again, these are all draft proposals. And apparently Manchin, according to the reporting this morning, is not overly outraged. Apparently, according to the reports, Manchin is okay with increasing the thresholds back to $75,000. Okay. Thank you, Joe Manchin. And there would be faster phase outs of this as well. So, again, there would be... I don't know how this is going to stick in. So the credit would phase out between $75,000 and $100,000. The phase out structure, the credit is reduced to zero for all taxpayers at the $100,000 level. They're not going to have it diminishing after that. It's just going to be, if you make $100,000, you do not get a check. Before, it was phasing out in increments, not anymore. And this credit, a dependent includes both children and non-child dependents. So they would be adult dependents. Many of you have been asking me that question as well, adult dependents. Seeing some of the latest data here. Okay. So these are all drafts. We don't have final pieces of this. They're going to be going through this with a pen over the next few days. And... again, those thresholds are intact. Joe Manchin seems to support them. We have those different provisions based on your 2020 tax returns versus 2019, which is good. So many of you have asked that. Would it be based on 2019? No, it'll be based on 2020. Yes, Ron Wyden is going to fight to try to get that unemployment benefit back to September instead of August, which just boggles my mind. So now the big question is minimum wage. Where will the backbone be? Who's going to stand up and show backbone over the next 24 hours, the next few days, to make sure that minimum wage is in here at $15 an hour? Will Bernie Sanders be going to the mat against President Biden? That's what I'll be watching. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. It's very easy to do. Just tap it right down here, subscribe, and turn on that little bell notification. We also have our daily newsletter that goes out every day, Monday through Friday. So please grab that as well. Go to morninginvest.com and subscribe. Monday through Friday, it's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And I'm super excited. By the way, if you're a channel member right here of our YouTube channel, morninginvest.com/join is how you become a channel member. We're going to be publishing a whole lot of behind the scenes videos while we're building out the new studio. It's going to be a nightmare of a process. You can hear how, you know, everything's been moved out of here now, and it's a whole big process. So it's going to take many, many days and probably weeks before it's all finalized. But you get to watch that process unfold. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for being a valuable part of our community here. I really appreciate it. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Hopefully the internet will be set up and we'll be able to have our normal live experience tomorrow again, back with a new space. So this will be the last show from this space. Bye. Say bye-bye. Bye, everyone. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow once again here on the show. Much love to all of you. All right, Grover, you ready to move? All right, let's do it, buddy.